pick up, I don't know. But anyway, the cows, the calves, and there was a different calf, tell them my uncle. There was a related but distant. Mm-hmm. And they spelled their name Gaup, G-A-U-P, these other people. And my uncle, my relations, spelled it G-A-P, Gaup. And well, anyway, when they left, there was no more school. So I was at home. And then after I got confirmed, all along the school line, after I was confirmed, then my dad had the idea I should go to that Eureka College. That was a little bit of college. After the corner everything was done, then they took me up to there, and they had a 9 months school term. And then we got up there. Now the lowest was 7th grade. And then from there on up, it was a kind of semi-high school or something like that. And so I couldn't talk. As I told you, all I could read is little primary. And I had good people there. So I had and there was a teacher there, an old lady, a middle-aged lady, I'd say, but old for me. And she was a crippled lady, but a very nice person. And so I had to write and write articles and so on and so forth. And I done what I could, but I couldn't do nothing. I read the best. And she noticed, they noticed that right away. So I had a number off list. And so I used that word most for anything. I think I could. And then she took over, and she explained everything to me in English and German and told me and started me out. And also a teacher was English, he never spoke German, but he was very kind to me. And by God, I made a 7th grade at somewhere. But when spring comes along, then we come home and we Fruchtputzen.
Now, where was this college at?
Eureka. During a college, it's vacant now. Mm-hmm. It used to be a nursing home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, don't you? Well, you should know about it maybe.
Yeah.
But Linden, that's why. It was a nursing home. It was built as a German for training at Luton College, Luton German College. You should know about it.
Yeah, right.
And it collected and they taught the people in the religious German language. That's about the way you put it.
Now, you said also someplace earlier you went to an auto mechanic school in Aberdeen?
Yeah. That was 25 years old already.
Okay.
After he had gone to college.
See, that I done. See, when I was 21 years old, my sisters got married, but I stayed with at home. So my dad gave me the 1/4 share of the crop, the grain crop, wheat and the hogs, the and cattle, whatever was sold. And like feed that wasn't sold, the oats and barley and so on. But the cash crop, I got a 4th share. So I saved a little money, had a little money. So first thing I bought was a Ford truck. And I was going to buy me a car. So my dad said, buy a truck and you can always have the car. From now on, you're old enough. Whenever, just tell us and you decide you can have a car. The car is yours. So I bought that truck on his recommendation. And the next year I had bought that Fortson tractor.
That was what, 19?
That was in 1900 and, I was, I'm a year behind. And when I was 21 years, I got the 4th share of the crop. Mm-hmm. And then the first year I bought that Ford truck for $600-$700. And then the next year, I bought a Fortson tractor. I was intending to farm. And then, later on, what you now ask, I had a notion I should know something about this machinery. I liked to. First thing I was going to be, when I my childhood, I was going to play blacksmith. From my childhood on up, my first, I didn't like farming. I didn't like animals. I wasn't an animal man. I was more mechanic. So that's what that was. And then when I was old enough and had a little money of my own, that was around 25, I think. Somewhere along in that neighborhood. I went to Aberdeen for 12 weeks for mechanical school. And then as I sat there about a church deal there, then I went to different churches. So I went 12 weeks in 1925, I think it was. I went 12 weeks to that mechanical school to take up mechanics and welding and so on. And then I went home and worked on the farm again. And then my sweetheart got old enough to give hands. And then in 1927, we got married on the 4th of September. So that's my schooling. But and then we spoke German all the time, regular Swabish German. And she was just a neighbor girl. Eisenberg was just a south door neighbor. So we grew up together. And
can you spell her last name for me?
Martel?
No, the other, her given name.
Eisenbeiss?
Eisenbeiss. Eisenbeiss. Yeah.
Spell it.
In which language? In English?
English, if you can.
E-I-S-B-E-I. Wait a minute. Yeah. Eisenbeiss.
Christine, can you help us?
Is it E-I-E-N? B-I?
E-I again, yeah.
E-I. E-S or S?
B-S. B-S-S. See, some Eisenbeiss spell it S. C, and they spelled it S. They spelled it as C, and the other one's S-S.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you were living in Hosmer at that time, when you got married, were you
living? No, at home.
Yeah, at Hosmer, at your home? You were living on your farm?
On the farm, yeah.
Yeah, where was the farm? Near Hosmer?
That's 9 miles north and 2 miles west from here.
Yeah. How did your sweetheart live down here too then? Because she wasn't there before.
And there she was born. Oh. In 1916, in March, Eisenbeiss got it. They had no children. You want to go through here?
Now, she was born in there, and then they moved down here?
Yeah. As I told you before, when they came over, they always went to some relatives. Yeah, and then, see, Fred, the oldest brother, was born out here, in that farm. 7 miles west of Hosmer, or about a half mile east of this Uriah Crate. There was a farm, it's not no more. But there are some trees there. There was the big Beechler farm. And a little ways over, there was a little farm. That's the Inget farms. Each quarter had a farm way back. And that was the oldest, my brother-in-law Fred was born. And him and my sister Maggie, they were baptized one Sunday, and one Sunday. He was the same age as Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved up to North Dakota. He was just the other way around. See, my folks went up there and came down, and they went up there to Lair. There was the Martel relation.
Okay.
And they went up there to Lair, and that's where the twins got born, Lydia and Gustav. But his name was different. But anyway, they were born on 12th of February, 1910. And the mother had She died in the fall. Schwindsucht, what do they call that in German again?
Tuberculosis.
That's right. She passed away in the fall. And then he was sitting here, and then there was three smaller children. Then there was Amelia, was just a year younger than them two twins. And then there was Gust, no wait a minute, Evelyn. But her name was Magdalene when up there, but later was Evelyn. She's already passed away. And then there was Teddy, and his name was Henry at home. But then, see, Mrs. Sandmeyer and my mother-in-law, they were Walls, W-A-H-L, Walls. And this, Mrs. John Sandmeyer, they were sisters. So she took care of them children. Mm-hmm. And that Christ Sandmeyer, there was a little, they always call him Shorty. They were childless. They didn't get no children. She was a sheik, and he was sent. They didn't get no children. So the sister took care of her sister's youngest baby. Mm-hmm. So they took him down, and them sent us adopted him and had him to taken their name, baptized him, and on their name they were, he was a sent mother, but he's a Martel, he's the youngest child of my wife's family. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is. And then, in February or so, I was in the confirmation school at Hosmer. And then Eisenbeis got over there, caught a ride, and went up to Blair on the train and got them two children. See, they was expecting a child, them Eisenbeis, but they always passed away. So they went up to, he went up to Bismarck, to Lair, Michigan Lair, and got them, then he took them, they didn't want to go apart, they always helped the other twins. And Gust is still living in Bismarck, yeah, the twin brother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he took them both down. And then mother put her in the shawl and the screw to do, took her home, which got her the only daughter-in-law she ever had.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the way it happened. Mm-hmm. And Gust, he was then adopted, being he was here kind of homeless. So Franz Oster, Frank Oster, adopted him. I had a full family, but being she was here kind of surplus, and Eisenbeis neither one, they just wanted a girl. And so Franz Oster, they were always Franz, took him in, Gust, and raised him. And then he married a neighbor girl over there to the west, a Jung. J-U-N-D-T, Jung.
The interviewee has requested to delete or erase a part of this recording. So this is what we are doing here now. So we should be on a erase portion of this tape. So continue on for another minute or so. While the erasure takes place. give up yet. We're getting close to the end now. Another couple of seconds and we should be there.
Music?
No. Not my younger son, is that?
Okay. Did you dance? Did you go to dance?
Oh, we had a little flirt and all there by youngster. His older son, he played accordion.
Mm-hmm.
Blitzflagerspieler.
But you had barn dances or anything like that?
Occasionally.
Okay. When you were growing up, do you remember any particular games that you played?
Baseball. Yeah, we had a baseball game there, but I was too young. It was all the older ones. Then after I grew up, there was not enough interest anymore.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
How did you travel in your younger days? Did you have a saddle horse that was yours, or a pony kind?
No. My dad didn't believe in them things, but I had a saddle, but I could use a horse later on. And then the cars came out. When I got old enough, I used the car. And
did you on your farm? What kind of animals did you have on your farm?
Well, we were mostly grain farmers. We had cattle. We had cattle. And hogs. We were quite a bit in hogs, but we had a tough luck one year there and this cholera was a bad, maybe it was up there too. Mm-hmm. Which direction from Wellington to you?
Southwest they lived.
Yeah. Southeast of Lincoln.
Southeast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now did your parents raise any sheep?
A few. I raised a few more when I was for myself.
And
yeah.
Now, when did you say you bought your first tractor?
Oh, well, I was about 22 or 23. Yeah.
About 22 or 23. Yeah.
Yeah.
And up until that time, you were farming with horses.
With horses, we had 16 horses. We worked three, four horse teams, quite regular. My dad did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then when I, for myself, had six horses to start with, and that Fortson tractor. Mm-hmm. My dad had a Titan tractor. I broke off almost a quarter of land with that Titan. See, after the First World War, he bought an 80-acre track right in front side of this farm there. See, that's taken from the southeast of it, it looks to me. And so he bought this quarter, 80 acres, was right south from our farm, and a little ways. And he bought a Titan tractor, and I run that, and I broke up this 80. And there were some pieces. See, years ago, these old people with that hand plow that always went around the sloughs and so on. And I remember we put an 80 in Walworth County. He had an 80 over there, and we broke it up, me and him. And so I tell you a little story there. See, when he went over there, he took me along. I was the oldest boy. And so he took me along, and I walked along the farrow when it was over and to tramp it down.
Yeah.
I done that just for curiosity for him. And that worked fairly good. It was. So by noon, I was tired, and it was a mile and a half from the farm. That's what that swingle is now. Of course, you wouldn't know anyway. Mile and a half from this farm northeast. And that 80 that was from this farm about about a mile west yet at that time. We didn't have this for him yet. That was way in the early days, and I was just about 8 years old or so. Yeah, anyway, we went over, we start breaking, it was four horses and one fluke. And they didn't know where I was tired. I didn't want to necessarily go along. He said, Jakob, the schaft ziemlich gut der Weg, wie der Herr Mara Klofer bricht. Und du gehst gerade mit. Und lauf wieder auf deiner Feuchten aus.
So how long did it take you to break that 80 acres?
Oh boy, 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, see every year I stripped so much. There were four horses and that freaking plow, and that went through the to half mile. And I think we worked on that 3 years, three springs.
And but what was the first crop that you put in new sod?
Flex, always flex. And then the next year we disc get pretty good, then we put in wheat. Well, then was gestetzt.
What's that?
Turned it over the first time.
Oh.
I'm using the German phrase now. Yeah.
And then, your mother, did she have a big garden?
Oh yeah. Potatoes, onions, and all these.
Did you?
We had it here.
When you broke the new land and things like that, did you always have a bestand?
Yeah.
The what?
A bestand. Melon and carrots.
Oh, bestand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fishing is like throwing me myself. Yeah. Yeah. Bestand. Yeah. Bestand. Yeah. Yeah. We always had that.
Broke up land.
And then the next, another piece. Finally, it was stripped along the regular field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you raise in that?
Bostan? Oh, mostly harabusa. Melone, gele melone, putz melone. It was.
Koch melone.
Putz melone, that was a melon that was the seed on the inside was on a cluster.
It's like the gaddy.
Yeah, like the yellow ones, the gut yellow. But the seed was not loose like kutle.
Mm-hmm.
There was that's why we call it putz melone.
Yeah, taste.
I don't know. The Goffs had it, from there we got a seed and we had it for a while. They didn't do very good. Torchlast we didn't have many more. But the regular yellow ones, Gale Melone, Wasser Melone, Van Harpus except.
Koch Melone,
Kerbse.
Yeah, the Koch Melone, they were citron, as we call them today.
Yeah.
How big did your watermelons grow?
Did you eat those?
Oh yeah.
See, the Koch Melone, that was they had to be cooked. They were always green.
Yeah.
They were most like the pumpkins and squash and stuff. Yeah.
And did your watermelons grow 15 pounds, 20 pounds?
Mm-hmm. They got about so.
The size of a basketball?
Not by us here.
They were just good to pickle and extend them, I guess.
Yeah, that was about. not
about
like the ones we got in the store here.
No.
Not quite that big.
No.
Well, not so. Mm-hmm. And so, put some eimacher.
Yeah.
They were the better watermelons when they were put in a barrel and pickled.
In a big crock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eimacher. How did they say that in English?
Canning.
Or putting up.
Pickling,
that's the English word, yeah.
Now, did your mother also make sauerkraut?
Oh, you bet.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a great week.
Stender.
Yeah, Stender and Torch later had him. I saw them.
Crocs,
around.
Crocs, yeah.
Crocs.
and pickles, put them in a crock too.
Yeah.
Put a plate on top and put them down and put them fried.
Press them down.
And they were good. Now you have to seal everything with a lid.
Then, if for meat, what did your mother and your parents for meat?
For meat? Well, we butchered lots and our family lost together. About 4 pigs, 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Did you make your own sausage?
Now what?
You made your own sausage.
Oh, sausage?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watermelon, devil wash.
Yeah.
Did you make blood wash too?
They made it once and showed it to us. folks. But they didn't like it themselves, and we didn't like it. But
the comment on that was, did they make blood wash?
I know what they said. Thank you.
Well, that's okay.
Maybe you got too much on here.
And then did your parents ever butcher beef?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. There was a deal between us, Garps, and my uncle Fred Schilling. They butchered the big beef and then they divided it up. And 1 year this butchers and then the next year, like me, we, my folks, and then Garps, and then Fred Schillings. And then later on when the families got bigger, then each one butchered a smaller critter then. See, when there was in company to 3, then we had a full grown critter and then they divided it. But later on that was not popular anymore. So they each one butchered a smaller one.
And now you were saying that you butchered about 4 200 pound hogs every year, and that was just for your family.
Yeah.
Now, did you butcher them all at one time, or how did you butcher them?
They were mostly not so much for meat as for fat lard. They didn't butcher them around, and then some other trimmings that was fried, I think, or rendered. I was brought up for fat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you use that fat then? You make soap?
Some of it that...
Cook with? Bake with?
See, there was everything, the intestines, the darm fat. And there was some kind of raw, not tasting good, that was used for soap, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They made their own soap. And the good fat, they eat a lot of quiche, yeah, of different kinds.
Mm-hmm. Bread.
Fried potatoes. And all the hot sometimes left over. And sometimes it went after the family got smaller, after Christine got married and Maggie, and so it was less. And we ourselves, we butcher too, me and my family.
Did your mother do a lot of canning of chickens and pork? Was that a lot of that canned, or was that all salted and...
Yeah, in the early days, yeah. But towards less, it was all canned. Most of it, that kept pretty well. See, in the old days, that a lot of it got old and stale, and the dogs would have cost some of it torch last. But the later years, yeah, there was a lot of canning done. And we did, my lady and I, we done all canning. There was no, I think torch last, we didn't even salt it any. But years ago, yeah, my dad, he salted everything, most of it.
And hung on the granaries in the summertime, and you went out and cut a piece off, yeah, and went in and cooked it.
That's salted it, and it had, till March or so, it was taken out, and it was smoked. It had different smoking apparatus. And then it was like you said.
What kind of wood did you use to smoke your meat with?
In the early days, was up there in the other farm, I don't know. But in this one down here, at, where this farm stood, there was the Simulong from the house east. He built a board frame around the chimney and smoked it through the wand over. Mm-hmm. See, there was a heating stove in there built with wood.
Yeah.
And that we fired with wood. And it went out to the chimney, and there it served as a smoking.
Yeah.
Okay. But you used wood.
Wood and boots. No mischt.
No. Yeah.
What's
boots?
Corn cobs and wood, yeah, okay, for smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to make a lot of fuel manure too. Mischt. Mist. Aufstecher.
Okay, now we're talking about the mist for fire, heating fuel.
For heating, poking.
Did you prepare that in any way, or did you go out and pick it out of the pastures?
That was mist, picking chips.
Yeah.
That mist was prepared, and that was a job and a half.
Okay, how did you do that?
We put it out in windrows. See, that was the horse manure and the cow manure. You know how that is naturally.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring, when it's raining weather came along, we forked that over and put a bit, some call it mishbet, mm-hmm, some we call it mishbloy.
Yeah.
It's in different villages at different names, but it's the same thing. So we put it out and spread in a layer. When I say mishpit, you understand that. And then we put horses on there, 6-8 horses. And they go around and around and around. And you, maybe you know about that, don't you?
Yeah, I know about it.
I've done it too.
Yeah.
See, that's
right. When the horses went around and around on it,
it mixed it.
See, as I said,
the
horse manure, clear horse manure didn't make any good manure or so. So they got mixed up when we spread these windrows. See, in the winter time, we hauled it out in windrows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in the spring, when it thaws up and the rain came along, then we forked it over into a mish pit.
Yeah.
Then after the horses got done walking over it, then what was the next step?
Until it was nice and firm and hard. And then the next step we spaded it out and so did it.
No. First you put on a mist voice to make
some.
It.
We didn't have any.
Oh, you didn't have any.
We kept on the horses on there until it was like that.
Oh, we used the voice.
Yeah.
Around mist voice.
Yeah.
A heavy thing. We hitched two horses.
It was about that big.
And oh,
yeah.
It was a roller.
Old thresh machine cylinder.
Dragged it.
Could be
solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on. Then it was stiffer.
Yeah, then we spaded it out.
Spaded into bricks, almost
blocks,
like bricks.
Yeah, and spare pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, a little while, we put in a dry sticker. See, there we set them up so that the edge got up too. And then when it was good and dry that we get ended, then we put on Greiz, Mischgreizer.
Okay.
And after that we put on a Mischschieber. And after that it was done.
And that was what they call the Russian lignite.
Yeah, I heard that too. That was the Russian lignite, that was the midnight cola.
Yeah.
Well, Schorf mischt.
Yeah,
that was different.
That was quite cold. That lasted a long time.
That was a good fuel.
I just have a couple more questions that I want to close with. What member of the family do you remember the best? Do you have a person in your family that you remembered?
You mean that we were close to?
Mm-hmm.
That was Maggie.
That was Maggie, your
sister.
We were
the closest.
Mm-hmm.
See, as we grew up, she was mostly outside. Christine, yes, she was the cook in the house. She was his mother. Yeah. And she was always in the house.
And Maggie was outside then?
And me and her mother. She was the tomboy. She could ride, and I remember one time when we got caught in a hailstorm, and we went on and on the horses. Each one was out and had four horses. I was seating and she was dragging. And so all of a sudden a great beat was down, and a quarter that was right behind the hill was a nice flat piece. And that was, that wasn't showing. I was going to put flex in there. I put flex in there and she was dragging it front and behind. But she was in front of me. And all of a sudden, on the hill came a cloud rolling over. So I hollered her, unhitching the, we have to get home. And I did the same thing. We drilled in the middle of the field. And we unhitched and got on. Our horses were all trained in riding. Got on there and what they could run, we got barely home. And then there was a hailstorm. The folks were here in Powell and doing shopping like years ago, and everything was knocked down. And that was before flex was the one, that late flex that they used to do in the early days. Yeah. And me and her, we always worked in the field. Christina never worked in the field. She was the housefrau until she married.
So, people who impacted your life, who did the disciplining in your home? Was it your mother or your father that, when you needed to be corrected?
Well, both. Well, still today I laugh, but at that time I didn't laugh for mother. And, from Florida I got several of them. I was kind of mean with animals. I wasn't an animal man. And he several times gave me a good licking. And the other story was years ago, and being sure, I don't know about you, but them two, I think, they grew up on a farm. And the chickens was brewed out, you know, I think, I don't even know, but you do know what I know. And you want this brewed out by clocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a lot of rotten eggs. And then, after the time was over, the season was over, we went back there and the wind right for Bradley Oyer. I don't know if he's not. And she gave it to me to throw it against that stone. Mm-hmm. And they had, they could tell by how they were rotten, how this breeding system was.
Mm-hmm.
And see, some years they had more and some less. And that year, anyway, she went back there with a book of holidays for Bradley Oyer. You understand all the German. And I threw against that stone, that was okay. Then we went home, it's on here, that room, to my arc. I got spells in my eye that it burns and it waters. Well, anyway, we went out there and had done this, and then went home. And then I went in the chicken coop, that old sod house that I told you about. Dad made that over to a chicken coop when we had that new one done. So I was about 8 or 9 years old. I was not or so. But anyway, I wasn't satisfied with this. That was too much fun. So I went to the chicken coop and took them out of the nest and and threw them into the center of the chicken coop there. In the evening when mother went and got her eggs, see, that was the income there for grocery. She came out there and there was the oil coop. And she knew what happened. So the mother stood her craft. And I took off for the hill and up. But she was at that time young and could outrun me. And I went around the yard over in the wheat field and there I was tired. And he had a piece of wood about that long. And boy, oh boy, I'm 97 years old, I still remember that.
Oh, dear.
I was a boy at that time.
That'll teach you to break eggs, huh?
Yeah.
Well, is there something else that you'd like to talk about? Ida, Christine, Jake, is there something that we've missed that you would like to?
Well,
things that. How did you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, about the same as still today. We recited, we had to memorize Bible verses, mm-hmm. and recited them on Christmas Eve. That little.
Okay.
Presents, sacred they call it that time, little bags, like they do today yet. And had to recite this first, then we got a little present.
Well, in your retirement now, what kind of hobbies have you got? What have you done for the last, so you're saying you're 90 plus years old? What have you?
Shop work, blacksmith work.
Blacksmith work, yeah.
See, I worked a year in a blacksmith. I know how to shorten shares. And
did you ever make these iron crosses for the cemeteries?
No. They're all a few stones. But I seen them made, yeah. And there was some in our cemetery. And there was on the Catholic cemetery, yeah. That,
but you never made any.
I never made any of that. But what I mostly did is in the springtime, in welding, broken parts, cast iron and so. And the springtime was plow work, shoving shares with plow lace on the fire there and the trip hammer. And shorten discs on the grinder, and then hay, welding, seals for glass moors, re-section them or ice-loom them, as we say it. And then in the fall of the year, we then plow work again, and whatever came along, welding. I wasn't so good in I practiced it on the farm already, and I, well, here there was not much forge welding.
Yeah.
And so it was always scarce, electric, mm-hmm. electric welding. Whatever came along for a year. And I worked for $60 a month and to learn it.
Yeah.
And then another guy came along and offered me $160. I worked cheap. But I went in there for learning the trade. And then that kind of, he always wants to sell me the shop, and I didn't want to buy it, because the farmers start doing the welding themselves, and the plows came with a throwaway lace, so I didn't trust myself.
Yeah.
And all that was the section work and grass moors, and I didn't trust myself, so I didn't buy it. And then he sold it to another fella. He retired. It was John Oster. It was the son to this Oster that had my brother-in-law adopted.
Oh, okay.
So and,
do you have electric welder here, or do you have other one?
Here. Now, it comes back to what I'm doing. Yeah, I had electric welder, and I built to the international truck, 6 feet special. You know them, I think. I went and took that around and made a hay sticker out of it. Put them a hay sticker like they got now. I can show it to you, sir. Oh, man.
Well, we'll finish up here, and what do you plan on doing for the next 40 years?
I only have 3 left. And I don't know what the good Lord's going to do with me. Whether he puts me in a good place or bad.
So it's been a pleasure talking to you folks, and I'll let Betty close with her comments. And
I don't have any more comments, but I surely appreciate the interview, and it's gone on just about 2 hours.
We go off and have supper together.
And thanks to Christine and Ida and Jake, thank you very much.
Now, is this going to be